I've sometimes wondered if this season of Advent comes at the wrong time, just before Christmas. Now, you may say to me, but isn't that what Advent is for, leading up to Christmas? Well, let me answer that in a kind of a non-dualistic way. Yes and no. I think we oftentimes see Advent as a time we walk through to lead us to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. We can approach it almost as a kind of sentimental journey as we go through this time of longing to hear that story once again of the baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. I would suggest to you, though, that Advent is so much more than that. Not that it's not about that, but it's about so much more. And what I'd like to share with you this morning are some thoughts that can invite us perhaps into a deeper understanding of what this Advent season is about. We talk about Advent being this season of watching, waiting, preparing, expecting. And yet, what is it that we are watching and waiting and preparing and expecting in our lives? What is it? What is it that this is about as we look forward? I'd like to reflect with you on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. When we say that name, sometimes we can think that Christ was Jesus' last name. Like there was Joseph and Mary Christ, and they had a son, Jesus Christ. But at the time of Jesus, one's identity was a little bit different. You were identified by where you were from or what you did. For instance, the word we are so familiar with, Jesus of Nazareth. It's where Jesus was from. It's where he lived. Or Jesus the carpenter's son. Or Jesus the carpenter. That's how someone in that time would have been known. That's how their identity was. Jesus from that town in Nazareth. The word Christ has a much, much deeper meaning to it that I think we sometimes don't appreciate fully. The name Christ is actually a title. It's a part of Jesus' identity that perhaps the early church gave to Jesus. They began to realize more fully who this Jesus is and began to call Jesus Jesus Christ, or it's more appropriate really to say Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. This word Christ, it was an ancient word. It was a word that had such a depth to it. It had meaning in many ways that Christ was this expression of God. Some would suggest that in the creation story, some scripture scholars suggest this, that in the creation story, when we hear the first day, we hear that it says, God created light, and there was light. If we look at the story more in a closer way, we see that the sun wasn't created until a few days later. So what's this light? Some suggest that the light is not so much the light of the sun, but the light is the fullest expression of God. That creation itself is God expressing God's self. We believe God was from before creation, but creation begins to be this expression of who God is. And Christ is this expression to humanity of who we can be and how we're created to be. It's believed that this sense of Christ gives us a sense of the wholeness of creation, the oneness of creation, the dream of creation that God had in creating everything. And that we're called to live in the midst of that, to create that oneness and that wholeness in our world. And that this idea of Christ is not something that a religious tradition owns or possesses, but rather this expression of Christ is for all of humanity to become one, to become whole, to become the dream and the vision of what creation was created to be. And we in the Christian tradition believe that this Christ, which was from all time, became incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth. That this Christ entered into history, entered into a time, entered into a person, entered into Jesus Christ, so that Jesus is the Christ. That we see in Jesus the Christ. If we want to find out from our own understanding of what this wholeness and oneness looks like, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Because how Christ, how Jesus lived that life invites us to see how we can live our lives, to live into the wonder of this cosmic Christ, which is meant for all of creation to enter into. Jesus lived, he was born, and we'll celebrate that in a few weeks. He lived, he died, he was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and the fullness of this cosmic Christ continues to invite us into the dream, invite us into who we can become in our lives. Entering into the fullness, entering into the wholeness. I think sometimes we don't always appreciate that fullness of what this cosmic Christ meaning is. We see hints of it. You know, living into this sense of wholeness and oneness and gathering creation together to live into what creation was created to be, we may not experience that every day in our daily lives, but we see and experience hints of it. Richard Rohr, who I often quote, one of my favorite spiritual writers, often says that God sometimes presents to us cosmic allurement. What a great phrase. Cosmic allurement. We have these experiences of that wholeness. Have you ever had one of those experiences in your life? It's hard to name, it's hard to capture. You're in one of those moments where you just don't want it to end. You don't want to let go of it. It's a hint. It's a clue of what we can be and what we can become. If you can see Christ like that, that sense of the cosmic Christ entering into this wholeness and fullness, then when we use that phrase, Christ, it can mean so much more. Who are we? What do we call ourselves as a community of faith? The body of Christ. We are the expression. We're called to be the expression of Christ. And when we come to the Eucharist, we come every Sunday to gather together. We come to this table, and what is it that we receive? The body of Christ. St. Augustine once said, when we come to Eucharist, when we come to communion, we receive who we are. We, the body of Christ, receive the body of Christ, to be nurtured and nourished as we walk this journey into the fullness of this cosmic Christ. In many ways, that's what this season of Advent is about. And in many ways, we're always living in an Advent, awaiting that fullness. We are part of this creativeness. We are part of this creation. We are engaged with Christ as co-creators. It's this fullness that is referred to as the second coming. That's a theological word you hear oftentimes, the second coming of Christ. And hopefully this understanding is different than what we oftentimes hear from some of our brothers and sisters in the Christian tradition who will portray the second coming of Christ as this day of judgment, this day of God coming to catch you and judge you, and you'd better be ready. You'd better be prepared. There are even, you know, ministers in the media who try to get headlines by predicting the day that it's going to happen. The end is near. You better be ready. I don't think that's what this is about at all. That doesn't speak at all to me. The second coming of Christ is something that we are a part of. We are co-creators. We create this cosmic Christ. We create this wonderful sense of being, this wonderful sense of creation and wholeness and fulfillment. We're part of that. And the second coming is when we live ever more deeply into that. And we're called in our time, in our day, to live into that and create that kind of a world. And it's not easy. It's why we walk this journey together. It's why we are nourished and fed along the way. It's why we, the body of Christ, receive the body of Christ, to be fed and nourished as we go forth, to bring this Christ to the world, to bring this wholeness to the world. I'd like to end with a story, an example from one of my favorite spiritual writers, Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard de Chardin was a priest, one of the great spiritual writers, I think, of the 20th century. The last century. Sounds kind of odd to say that. You know, I don't know. You feel like you're getting old and you talk about the last century. But Teilhard de Chardin was a priest and a paleontologist. And his spirituality and all that he was about came from both those areas of his life. This sense of creation and the sense of wonder. He tells a story, he writes a poem about it actually, but he tells this story, and I hope I can convey it to you, because it's really fed me and nourished me over the years. Teilhard was in China. I'm not sure when this was, maybe in the 1950s, early 1960s. He was there as a scientist doing some work in paleontology at a site. And it was a time of great suffering in the world. It was a time of great oppression in the world. Sometimes the world hasn't changed a whole lot. But he was present there. And one day he wanted to celebrate the Eucharist. But he had no bread and he had no wine. And he got up one morning, early in the morning, with this desire to celebrate the Eucharist without bread, without wine. And before the sun began to rise, he began to celebrate the Eucharist. And the sun began to rise. You could see the sun coming over the horizon. And when it came time for that part of the Eucharist where we share the words of consecration, oftentimes they're called, Teilhard just reached his arms out, in almost embracing the earth, saying, "This is my body." Offering up all of the earth, all of creation, as Eucharist. And then he brought to his heart all the suffering that he saw every day where he was and throughout the world, all the oppression, all the people who were in poverty. And he brought all those into his heart. "This is my blood. This is my blood. Sacrifice for you." Teilhard had that sense of Eucharist, of the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, being this great sense of being called into oneness, being called into the fulfillment of all creation. And I propose to you that we walk that journey still, as we attempt to live our lives and bring about that fullness, as we walk into this cosmic Christ, for all the world to be one, to reach its fulfillment in Christ, and that we may be co-creators in this journey we walk together. So I offer that as another way of seeing a part of Advent, this wonderful season. And on Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ.